Amen. Miss Obenauer's class is heading out. Chad, thank you. Are you in there? Oh, okay. I thought you may have went to that class by now. Almost, yeah. Well, again, we're in the book of Mark. Mark's one of the earlier Gospels that was written. And I have to apologize. I've apologized to God already. Man, as we begin to study in the book of Mark, and it just really hadn't just taken off and leaped off the pages yet until we study. And I'm absolutely giddy about today's lesson. I couldn't hardly go to sleep last night just from the revelation that I got from it. You know, you look in there and you go, man, there's just nothing there. And then you go, wait a minute, it's the Word of God. And man, just the picture and the presentation that's here is I think was awesome, and I hope y'all get it too. I prayed that God's Spirit would allow us all to understand and teach. But we find that Jesus starts his earthly ministry, and Mark is giving the step by step of that, and he goes into the synagogue and he preaches and he does a miracle, and the people come and want to see miracles. And I'm telling you what, we would all be the same way as, hey, we want to see a miracle. But the problem with wanting to see miracles is you have to keep doing miracles. Jesus Christ wanted them founded, their foundation on the Word of God. Not because of a miracle that happened, truly a miracle, but that's not what it's about. He wants us to be grounded and grounded on His Word. And that's why we see over and over again, He says, hey, I got to go to the next synagogue in the next town and preach. He didn't say, I have to go perform a miracle or cast demons out or anything else. He said, I got to go preach so that they'll get rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And that's why we come to Sunday school. And here's where we get rooted and grounded in it. You know, I ask my kids periodically, you know, why are you an independent fundamental Baptist? We should know that. You know, you talk to so many people that say, well, I'm such and such religion because my parents are. Well, that's not a good reason. You know, that's like saying, well, it's in there because my preacher says so. That's not a good reason. We open the Word of God and we find out for ourselves what the Word of God says. And as we see, when Jesus went into the synagogues, at least the Bible was still being opened and read. You know, they were still reading what the Word of God had to say. We see a miracle today that he heals a leper. And I read right over it. I even went over into the Old Testament and studied the laws of leprosy. And it's one of those, I mean, y'all get with me here. You know, it's one of those, and I don't mean to be sacrilegious, but mundane. If he sees the white spot and it's a red rash, and then it goes, and then if he sees the white spot, and it, you know, and they just keep going over and over. And I didn't get it. So I kept studying. And once I did get it, it's fascinating. The picture of leprosy is sin. And the only way that leprosy was healed was through miraculous healing, which is what salvation is. We find that Jesus heals the leper and he says, don't go tell anybody. Go to the priest and present yourself and do the law of Moses. There was stipulations when someone was healed miraculously, they were to go through a process to get back in to all the fellowship that they were out of. You know, they gave up their family, they gave up their religious fellowship, any of the feasts, they were cast outs. They were literally living dead, which was us being dead in our trespasses and sins. So, leprosy was a picture of sin. And if we can slow down, my wife told me this morning, slow down and explain this. Because it's really neat. And as we read, again, we read through, and if we don't slow down, we miss all the nuggets that's laying there. So after we pray, Mark chapter 1. Lord, I thank you again for those who've come out to hear your word. Father, I pray that your Spirit would teach, and Lord, that we would understand, Lord, through your Spirit. Father, I pray for all the teachers today that they prepared, and Lord, again, that our church would be strengthened through the Sunday school program. Lord, that we could go out and witness to others, Lord, on our strength in the Word of God. Lord, thank you again for this. Lord, bless the reading of your Word in Christ's name. Amen. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. We find that all the people had come to Simon Peter's house, and he's referred to in here as Simon, but we understand that's Peter. They come to Simon Peter's house, everybody wanting to be healed and the devils removed and all that. And so much so that they spent all day, because they got there in the evening and they spent some hours of the night. It says, remember last week, that all the city came out. So he's in a position, Christ is, of everybody finally leaves. He had a human body. He was tired and he laid down and slept. But look in verse 35, says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." God help us if that's what we do. You know, to start your day praying, whether it's when you're driving into work, you know, pray that time. You know, just talk to God. How else do you get a relationship if you don't communicate? You know, God speaks to us through His Word and that small, still, quiet voice, okay? But we got to talk to Him and communicate to get a rapport with Him. And Jesus Christ shows us here that when it was early, He got up and went off to Himself, got in His prayer closet and prayed. And we need to use that example. Verse 36, "And Simon, when they that were with him, followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee." Man, they found out that Jesus Christ was on the face of the earth. He'd been here for, you know, 30 years. But he performed a miracle in the synagogue in public. And it was kind of his coming out, if you will. And now everyone that was downtrodden seeked after him. You know, sometimes our sin gets us downtrodden, but we don't look at it that way. And we don't necessarily seek after him. Normally, when things are going good, is our least prayer time, our least time that we spend with God. And then something happens and, oh, we're back on our knees and going, I'm a prime example of it. You know, things are going good. We put God up on the shelf and we go on about our business. But we should daily be in communication and walk with Him. Amen. So that we don't get to those times. But here they said, "All men seek for thee." And so Jesus says in verse 38, "And He said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." He came here to present who and what He is. He came to preach it. He came to preach the Old Testament, which every page Jesus Christ is on. I mean, you just begin to look in it and see the examples and the shadows of Jesus Christ. Excuse me. He said, "We must go so that I can preach." Because that's why I came here, was to preach salvation to them. Verse 39, "And he preached in the synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils." You know, it was one way here on earth that he could go to getting at Satan was cast out those demons out of people and start trying to make whole people again. Verse 40, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." I got to looking up the leprosy. It's Dr. Hansen discovered it. It's called Hansen's disease or leprosy. Up until the 1980s, there wasn't a good treatment for it. Until the 1980s. But in the last 20 years, 15 million people worldwide have been healed of leprosy. And once they start doing it, I thought about you, Laurie, because it's multi... Let's see if I can find it. It's multi-drug treatment. It's a process that they go through. But once they start the treatment, they're no longer contagious. One of the myths about leprosy is that limbs and stuff would fall off. I don't think you could ever get to that point of them actually falling off. Now, there would be bad sores and stuff, but leprosy affected the nervous system, either through the brain or the spinal cord. And you understand that some of the reaction to something going on in your body is a rash coming to the outside, right? Well, what would happen is these contusions would show up on the skin, which was coming out of the body. You would either be taken to the priest or you would go to the priest and you would show him your situation. He would quarantine you for 7 days just to see if maybe, you know, you just got a bump or a sore on you. He would check you after that 7 days if there was, you know, if it began to scab over or some kind of, if there wasn't a spreading of it, then he would declare you clean. You would stay there another 7 days. He would look at you again, make sure you're clean. This is all in Leviticus chapter 13. All the process of it. Tells about the white hair in the, you know, however it turns. And it, again, all in Leviticus of the law of it. But once you were classified clean, you could go back to your regular life. Now, you had to wash yourself. You had to shave your entire body. Wash all your garments, and then you could just go back about your life. If you were declared unclean, you were cast out of society. You were cast into a leper colony. You were just excommunicated from everything. No one wanted to touch you ever. You had to put a wrap over your upper lip. And anytime someone approached you or you were going down through there, you had to holler, unclean, unclean, so that people could either get out of the way or change ways. It was just a debilitating disease that there was no cure for. We have 3 people written in the Old Testament that had leprosy and was cured of it. Moses was one when he stuck his hand in and out. But no natural cures of leprosy ever in the Bible. It was always a supernatural thing, which is what salvation is. Again, we have a picture of sin and a picture of salvation. You were literally, as I said before, living dead. You know, cast out from your family members. I mean, as much as they loved you and wanted to be around you, it was so contagious. You also got it through your mucous membrane, through your respiratory system. So that's why they had to wear the cover. It was a horrific disease. The only thing I could relate it to today would be the cancers, you know, of terminal cancer. When you just know that, hey, my days are limited and unless God intervenes. But it was a form of bacteria that got into your system. But this leprosy also consisted of any kind of bacteria or mold. There was leprosy of your garments, and there was leprosy of your home. In Leviticus 13, it tells about them having to, they would send somebody in, I don't know who would do this job, but they would send somebody in to scrape the inside of the house of the mold. Now, they have guys doing that today, but they would scrape the inside of the house and take it without the camp or outside the camp. And then the priest would come back in 7 days later and make sure that there was no more mold growing there. If there was mold growing there again, they would tear the whole house down and take all the stone and everything out of the camp. So this leprosy form was any kind of mold or bacteria that grew on anything that they could see. Again, with the garments or whatever, they would burn them. Leprosy was a horrific deal, and to be diagnosed with it from the priest was again just a death sentence. You were placed outside the camp. You would begin to get these lesions and just sores on your body. And again, Leviticus 13 tells about whether it's deep in the skin or not, where you can see the open wounds. Just a horrific thing. But again, Still current today, but we have treatments for it. So, but look here, he says in Mark chapter 1, says that in verse 40, that there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Here this leper comes up to Jesus Christ. He's got his apostles with him. They didn't run up and push the leopard out of the way. They probably gave him way. You know, they probably said, "Hey, there's a leper coming. You know, somebody do something." The leper knew what he had in mind. He knew that if he could get to Jesus Christ, he could heal him. He knew no matter what the disease was, and at that day and time, leprosy was the disease. But he knew if he could get to Jesus Christ, if it be His will, He could heal him. The leper knew what was going on. He says in verse 41, "And Jesus, moved with compassion." Man, that chokes me up every time I read it. Jesus had compassion on this man. Just like He did every one of us. Just like He does all those people in third world countries. All those people in Haiti. He has compassion on them. It says he moved with compassion. And look what He does here. He put forth His hand and touched him. You can look at both sides of that. The leper, since being diagnosed with leprosy from the high priest, had not since that day ever had anyone deliberately touch him. Man, think about that. I mean, we're a human people that like interaction and being social and you know, hugging and shaking hands. I mean, I love shaking hands with all of y'all. I love hugging some of y'all, mostly the ladies. But anyway, can you imagine this leper? Nobody had deliberately touched him. On the other side, Jesus Christ reaches out and touches a leper. How deadly is that? You know, to contact that disease. And we understand He couldn't. But they see this picture of His compassion. You understand that's love in action. That's salvation. That's Him reaching down and touching us. And David, in Psalms 51, David says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." David said, in his condition, he was as bad off as the leper. That's how dirty he was. He said, I'm so bad that I'm as a leper, living dead. But I know that if You touch me, I can be whiter than snow and made whole. And we'll see about the hyssop here in a second. But leprosy was just such a horrific thing. And for Christ to have compassion on that man, on this one man that came forth, that came to Him, He put forth His hand and touched him and said unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. There's that word "immediately" again that Mark uses. Mark was just fascinated as to how quickly, when Jesus Christ said something, that command was taken care of. I've told y'all before, God had 10 commandments that He gave to Moses, but in Genesis, He gave 10 commandments. He commanded that there be light, that there be land, that there be the beast of the field. And those happened. Nature itself answered Him every time with doing it. You realize the only ones that don't is us. When God makes commands, we're the ones that don't heed to it. Nature itself heeds to His commands every time. This disease understood His command and was gone immediately. He said, "I will, be thou clean," and immediately He was cleaned. There was no 12-step program. There was no, you know, rehabilitation. No long months of taking, you know, so many pills. Immediately He was cleaned. When Jesus spoke it, it happened just as the blind man received sight. I mean, immediately that happened. Verse 42 says, "And as soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. And he said unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Unto them is the priests. Jesus told this man that was healed, don't tell anybody, go to the priest and show yourself. He's going to understand that you were a leper and now you're clean. It's going to be something good for you and for the priest. You understand, at this point in time, the priest had pretty well done away with Jesus as the coming Messiah. It's in the Old Testament. Every picture, shadow, and everything is Jesus Christ coming. The problem is, they had done away with it. So when he goes and shows himself, it's going to show the priest who Jesus Christ is. What is that going to do for the congregation? It's going to change the way the priest is thinking and teaching. Y'all remember when Paul got saved, Paul said, man, I've got to go rethink my entire life. He said, I looked at the Old Testament this way. And now in the light of Jesus Christ, I've got to rethink everything I've learned. He went away for 3 years and reprogrammed his whole mind of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And the greatest missionary Christian that we've ever known. But he rethought what his thought process was. If the leper goes to the priest and shows himself, and the priest goes through the ritual, the priest is going to look at his teaching different. Look in Leviticus chapter 14. This law was given to Moses. Anytime a leper was clean, he was to do this ritual or process. Understand again, we only have 3 accounts of anybody ever being healed miraculously in the Old Testament from leprosy. So in 1,500 years of priesthood, there's probably only a handful of people or priests that's ever done this ritual. So it's going to be new to the priest in Jesus' time. Chances are he'd never done this ritual. But look here in Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 1 says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look and behold if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Understand, this leper couldn't come into the camp. The priest had to go out and see. Someone had to say, hey, there's a leper out here, says he's clean, you need to go check him. So the high priest would go outside the camp, he would look at him and try and tell whether he was clean or not. Then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, 2 birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over running water. One page. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. I read 13 and 14 and just wasn't getting it. It just goes over and over again of what they're supposed to do and how they do it. As you begin to study through it, he says, the priest says, in verse 4, he says, the priest shall command for him to take that is cleansed 2 birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. The 2 birds, one will be put to death, shedding his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. This bird is a picture of a heavenly creature. They fly in the heavens. This heavenly creature came down to earth. This other bird is killed in an earthen vessel with running water, or what we would call spring water, or alive water. again, a picture of the death of Jesus Christ. This one bird is put to death and shed his blood, but the running water is the purifying that he was pure. This dead bird they take and put on basically a cedar stick. Cedar is a very hardy wood. We use cedar for fence posts because they'll stay in the ground and won't rot for years on end. They're very hardy for any kind of disease or anything like that. So this cedar wood would represent something that couldn't be contaminated. So here he would take this cedar, what we would call a stay or just a cut off of it. He would take that dead bird that shed its blood in the water and the blood. He would take a scarlet. That scarlet was a piece of scarlet wool, red in color. And he would tie that bird to that piece of cedar. Again, a picture of Christ on the cross. He would tie that bird on there with that scarlet, and he would dip that bird in the blood and the water, and he would 7 times sprinkle that leper being clean. The live bird with the blood sprinkled on him was let free, showing Jesus Christ's resurrection. He told the leper, "You go and get this ritual done, and it'll change your life. Not that you've been made whole and now you can go do what you want to. It'll change your life." I tell people all the time, until you see Christ Jesus crucified on the cross, it really doesn't have any bearing or personal effect to you. Jesus Christ said, "Let me tell you what the best thing for you to do is go to church and get the picture. Now you're going to be of some effect. But until you do that, you're not really, I think of friends of mine that had athletic status. They were the world champions or whatever, and they get saved. And immediately they're taken and put on TV. Hey, it's great to give your testimony. Hey, God saved me, a wretched sinner like you. And because I'm some celebrity, I want to tell you about God, who doesn't know anything about God other than He saved me." You know? Go and get that grace of God and growing in the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ, and then come out and tell everybody what really happened. Jesus said, "You go and you go through this ritual and you'll find out what really happened to you. That leprosy you had was the sin in your life, and that cleansing of the blood is what made you whole." It changed his life, not physically, but spiritually as well. Jesus said, "Don't go tell anybody, you go show the priest." Because let me tell you what it's going to do to that priest. That priest is going to say, "Wait a minute, tell me your story again. Now there's this guy over here named Jesus, and he healed me." And the priest says, "Well, we got to do this deal here. Oh my word, that's the Messiah. He's the one that heals." I'm telling you, it would change. Jesus said, "Go show them." It's going to change the priest's life and how he teaches. He's going to relook the Old Testament and he's going to rethink what it's all about. That's Jesus Christ. The hyssop, as we referred to a minute ago with David, was a sweet-smelling savor. That leper would have a stench to him from just rotten flesh and the blood, and that hyssop would change all that. That's why David said, "Wash me with hyssop, because I'm just like the leper." We understand that Jesus Christ, when He was on the cross, He was offered drink from a hyssop branch. Another connection of Christ. But David said that he admitted that he was as bad as a leper. That's what sin had done to his life and made him living dead as a leper. All these things come together was a picture of Jesus Christ. Once he's healed, he goes and he goes through this ritual and he's sprinkled with the blood. The other bird is let go. He's 7 days still. He's back with his Hebrew family, but he's not back with the whole congregation. He sets another 7 days out of the camp, outside of his tent. He can't go back in yet. He comes back in that 7th day. If the priest finds that he's actually clean, He takes that blood and he puts it on his right earlobe, he puts it on his right thumb, and on his right big toe. Then he comes back and he takes the oil and he puts that oil on his right ear, on his right thumb, and on his right big toe. Those of you who are Old Testament studies understand that's how the priests are ordained. They take that oil and they put it on the priests. What did that do for this healed man now? It made him whole and it made him his own priest. Wow. Somebody can wow with me, I hope. It made him the same picture of being ordained. You understand, when we get saved today, we're our own priests now. That veil has been torn down and we can go in the presence of God Almighty without having to go through a priest, because we've got the blood, the covering of the blood, and now we have that anointing. And we can go ourselves into the Holy of Holies. I think that's just incredible, y'all. The picture of what Jesus told this man, if you'll go and go through this ritual, you'll get it. If you'll go and get in Sunday school and get in a good Bible teaching church, you'll get it. You know, you can get saved, but is that going to change your life here on earth? It should, but how will you grow? You know, we Baptists are the world's worst about reaching somebody for the gospel of Christ, getting them saved, putting them in a bassinet, and leaving them on the doorstep somewhere. God bless you, right? Instead of evangelizing them and trying to show them, hey, here's what you do now. Here's how you act. Here's what we do. You know, a lot of people get saved and boy, they're at church every time the door's open, and before you know it, they're at visitation. Man, they got it. You know, if they're out visiting, you know, and all they're doing is saying, man, I don't know a whole lot, but I can tell people it's changed my life. You know, and again, Jesus said, if you'll go and you'll go to church and you go through what this has done, you'll get it. That picture that I just painted for y'all, would that make you get it? When he saw all the symbolisms and the things going on, he got it. Now, we don't know whether he did that or not, because we're going to find out here in a minute that he just went out telling everybody that he got made whole. But how strong of a witness would he have been if he would have went through this ritual right here? And what would have done to the whole congregation for the priest that's there? Because the priest is going to look at it and go, Wait a minute, I get this. I understand this now. There's the death in an earthly vessel of a heavenly being, and then the resurrection. It was all a picture of Jesus Christ. Then again, the ceremony of consecrating the priest. He had the covering of the blood first, and then the anointing of the oil. So he had the blood on him first, then he had the oil on him next. So he got saved, and he was consecrated into being his own priest. That's super. In that day, that's super. That priest would look at that and go, wait a minute. You mean we're fixing to all be done away with? Because that's what was going on. But he would have needed to get it. I mean, that's why they were there in that position to begin with. Go back over to Mark now. Jesus commanded him to go and do which Moses had commanded, go through the ceremony and get an understanding of where you're at. Look what verse 45 says, but. Boy, you always hate to see one of those in there, don't you? But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city. Jesus said, look, I've got a program and a plan that's going to work really good if you'll just do what I tell you. Y'all can underline that stuff. If you'll just do what I tell you, it'll work really good. But if you choose to do what you want to do, it's going to mess some things up. He says, but he went out and began to publish it much. Jesus said, straightway you go and don't tell anybody. You just go to the priest and you get an idea of what just happened to you, and the priest is going to get a better idea of it. and it's going to change some things. But the guy didn't do it, and Jesus either not necessarily changed his strategy of what he had to do, because look what it says. Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. So now, rather than him going into the city, they had to come out to him. Under his terms now, what was going on with John the Baptist? He was way out there at the River Jordan. They all came out to see him. That, you know, he didn't go around and make posters and rent the Colosseum and set up something to deal with. He just went out there and preached repentance and salvation, and they came to him. Now here's Jesus Christ, again, out in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. We see that, again, if the leper does what he was told to do, now you can imagine this leper, though, I mean, he's happy beyond belief. He has now been restored to a full life. Man, he's wanting to tell people. And today, that's an okay deal to do. You know, we want to hear people's testimonies. I mean, I don't think we should ever stop. I think it's also kind of an insult that today at about 5:15 or 5:30, we're going to have about four guys in men's prayer time. About four, usually. Sometimes we get another fifth one in there. But we have prayer time. The women have more than we do. Go figure. But I don't think we should ever quit standing up and giving praise and saying, hey, I love that when somebody says, hey, I got a praise. You know? Man, God's still hearing our prayers. That's awesome. Every now and then, somebody says, hey, God heard my prayer. We should all be saying, you know what? God hears my prayers every day. He hadn't answered it yet, but He's heard my prayer every day. And again, at about 5:30 today, we'll have about four or five men in there saying, you know what? I believe that God hears my prayer. And we're going to come and we're going to pray for those that I wrote down here a minute ago. I'll mention them again at 5:30 today. I know the women do the same thing. Man, we should have prayer time with God should be as big as anything we do around here. Really. The least, that's probably the least. The second least is visitation. I don't mean to do a downer for y'all, but God's laid it upon my heart that, man, if God's hearing our prayers and we give Him praise for it, man, I love it when somebody stands up in here and says, hey, I got a praise. Oh, man, God is listening to us. That's fantastic. But we should always be able to say, hey, I got a praise that God heard my prayers. He hadn't quite answered them yet, but He heard my prayers. You know? We pray for the Ivies and we pray for Adam fixing to travel and the Hamiltons are gone. God hears our prayers. I got a praise. We hadn't got a phone call yet that said the Hamiltons are having any kind of trouble. Hey, man. Kurt, your prayers were answered, weren't they? God heard your prayers. But if we do what Jesus commands us to do, we're going to get it even better than if we try and do it on our own. This man, because of his zeal and happiness, didn't listen. You understand, before he came to Jesus, his prayer was to be healed. And he knew that if he could speak to him, he would be heard, and his faith is what made him whole. His faith in coming to Jesus Christ made this man whole. He said, I know that if you want to, you can heal me, if it be thy will. And Jesus said, you know what? He looked at him and had compassion on him and said, you know what? Your faith is what's made you whole. And this man just wanted to broadcast it. But Jesus said, let me tell you what will have more of an impact. Go and do it this way. And the impact, not just on that man, but on the entire congregation, on that entire city, you know. What about the leper colony that sits out there and says, we have no hope? And this man says, no, we got hope. We got hope. There's a man over here that reached out and touched me. We've got hope. All of them had hope. next week, chapter 2. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your word. Father, I thank you for the pictures and the types and the shadows of Jesus Christ, Lord, that we so easily miss and just read over. Father, I ask that you would just, Lord, slow us down. Lord, let us look into your word and seek your face. Father, that we would grow. Lord, as you told this leper, Lord, to go to the priest and show yourself. And Father, that we would get the lesson out of it and grow stronger in you. Lord, we do pray for all those that we mentioned here earlier. Lord, those traveling. Lord, those who are out sick. Father, pray for the Ivies. Lord, you'd comfort them. Lord, in this time of loss, in Christ's name.